This is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Peter Whittingham, chairman of the board at the Down Syndrome Organization of Southern Nevada. The organization is hosting its 35th annual two-day Festival of Trees and Lights fundraising event next weekend at Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Peter, thank you so much for being here today.
Heather, it is a pleasure being on your show. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
So what exactly is the Down Syndrome Organization of Southern Nevada?
So the Down Syndrome Organization of Southern Nevada, a lot of people don't know, but it has been in existence for the past 36 years. And we are well known and in fact, a leading voice of advocacy for persons with Down Syndrome in particular, but in general, for persons with intellectual developmental disabilities.
Okay. Now, when you say advocacy, what does that include? What sorts of services do you provide for your clients?
We provide a variety of services. In fact, from early diagnosis of a pregnant mother who is informed that her child is diagnosed with Down syndrome, from that early stage, we are a repository of information and a support for the parent. Oftentimes, Heather, that is where it starts. And the mothers and the families who have that test done and realize that, well, their child will be different. There is a lot of information that they need in order to help them make that decision. So we provide that information. We're a resource of that information for the parents. And sometimes we don't know until the child is born and we get a call from the hospital that we have a mother here or a parent here who is uncertain of what to do. We respond, provide a kit to that person, make our home, because it is in fact a home open to that person, that family, to make sure that they know that they do have a support base. As I did when my daughter Sophia was born, she's now 24 years old, we were in the dark, did not know, but we were happy that at that early stage, when she was just 2 months old, we met a group just like us. And so we provide that kind of service. And then we move on in terms of service for our newborn. We have music therapy. We have other programs that are cognitively stimulating for those young ones and their parents. And then as the child age from 6 to 13, we have different kind of programs, speech therapy, and also for our adolescent and adult as well. In fact, our youngest member who just turned a year old, he came to us when he was 3 months. And Jimmy, our senior ambassador, is 61 years old. We provide programs and services to address the changing and in some cases complex needs and growing needs of our members from birth. We like to say from birth to our senior ambassador age and beyond.
Nice. Okay. Now you've got the 35th annual Festival of Trees and Lights coming up. What exactly is this festival all about?
The Festival of Trees and Lights was really our first fundraising event way back in 1987 after the organization was formed. Our first fundraising event was in 1988. And they came up with the idea of elaborately decorating Christmas trees, exquisite styles of decoration, and then to have this winter program or festivity or our gala event where people would come out and see these Christmas trees, take pictures in these Christmas trees, take pictures with Santa Claus. And then, in fact, it was a one-week event way back when. And so people would look forward to these elaborate, fancifully decorated Christmas trees and wreaths and other different things during the Christmas season and come out. And then it would be capped off with a wonderful gala celebration where individuals come out and bid on those Christmas trees and other auction items as well, and have a big grand party, dance, music, and whatever else. And so it has evolved in that way. In fact, there was a time, Heather, where Las Vegas looked forward to this gala event for Christmas. It was one of our celebrated events of Christmas. And now, as a two-day event, we will be hosting our members of the public to come in and see these trees, which will be decorated on the 24th and be available for the public to see on the 25th between 10 and 4 o'clock. Where families will come down and see all the wonderfully decorated Christmas trees and wreaths, take pictures with Santa, and then cap off with this big gala event. And this year is going to be fantastic. If you were there last year, or anybody heard about it last year, it was the grandest event to date, but even grander this year.
Nice. Okay, so what makes it grander this year than last?
Well, in addition to the festivities and the elaborate trees, the event is really designed to showcase our members, to showcase their talents, showcase their skills, to showcase their performances. Oftentimes, we as regular members of the community look at persons with disabilities and we focus on the this as opposed to the ability of those individuals. So this year, we have our partners and friends and members from the Strength of Abilities Elite Dancers will be joining us. We have our DSOS and dance troupe who will be dancing and performing and showcasing their skills. That's part of it. But also, I should tell you that we have the opportunity this year, and we are excited about this, to really recognize and honor our chief executive in the state, the governor, Joe Lombardo. He will be there. And we are looking for the opportunity to really honor the governor for his advocacy and support for the disability community in general. And in particular, if I may say, the Down Syndrome Organization. So many people in the state, because of the governor's history in law enforcement, know him as the law enforcement governor. He's a law and order governor, which he is. And I appreciate that. As a retired police captain myself, I appreciate that. But very few people know him as also a staunch advocate and supporter for the disability community, as evidenced by his support for the recently passed Assembly Bill, the Down Syndrome Information Act, and also guidelines that now prohibits the payment of subminimum wages to persons with disability. This is big for us as a community. And we want the world to know that in addition to his staunch and firm commitment to bring law and order to the state, so too, he is a person that a lot of people don't know that is a real staunch advocate for our community. And we want the world, not just Las Vegas, we want the world to know. And we are very privileged and honored with the opportunity to honor him at this event. So come out and be a part of that team, that crowd, that group that really recognize the governor for his good work.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I didn't know he was such an advocate. Now, you're saying that before this assembly bill was passed, people were allowed to pay those with disabilities sub-minimum wages?
It's natural, unfortunate, but true. And as much as people did not know, and what happened is that so many of us in the disability community are just so happy to get a job. And so I don't care what I earn, some may say. I just want to get a job. And parents sometimes are just so happy to have their children coming out, getting out, and being a part of the community. And so oftentimes we get into the workplace and we find that even though we may do the same level of work, for some reason, however, it has been the practice of some of our employment institutions to simply pay us less. And I say us, although I'm not disabled, but it's us. It's my community, my children community, my family, my friends, and certain our members. And so I have adopted that community as mine. So it's our community. And so in his wisdom, the governor has seen that this is really injustice. And so the guidelines now read that in time, not immediately, unfortunately, but it's okay. We will wait. We have lived so many years with this kind of imbalance in properly compensating our members for their work. So we can wait a couple more years where we will come on par, where regardless of our ability, we will not be paid any less than the law requires that we are paid for our work.
Yeah, that's a fantastic progression. I'm really glad that bill passed. Now, let's talk a little bit more about these trees. You mentioned that they're elaborately decorated and people can bid on the trees to take home after the event. Who is it that's elaborately decorating these trees?
So over the years, we have had individuals develop the artistic skills to really decorate these trees. And you'll find that the people who volunteer their time to decorate these trees has themselves been involved in the tradition over the years. They look forward to what, in some cases, you have companies, organizations see this as a way to bring their employees together. They gather around and decorate this fanciful tree with all different kind of design. In fact, we have a Barbie tree coming up this year. We have a Swiftie tree coming up. There's a Taylor Swift tree coming up this year. We have a lot of fanciful trees. And so what happened is these individuals creatively, in their own way, design these trees that they stand out exquisitely. In fact, in some cases, very elaborate. And they also, through a donation, commitment from other organization, obtain some elaborate gifts. In some cases, trip to Miami, trip to Disneyland, trip all over the world, and expensive jewelry are all items that you can find under the tree. For example, last year, the top tree, bid tree, went for just under $10,000.
Wow.
And the artistic design was by one of our favorite and really just a compassionate guy and just somebody who really loved the community, no other person than Dr. Neil Gokul. He is one of well-respected physician that works with the Southwest Medical Anthem Care Group here in Nevada. He's one of very respected physician, and he was the lead tree for last year. He designed the most exquisite tree. You look at it and you wonder, wow, how long did it take him to do this? And so I'm going to invite you and your audience to come on down and to see some of these trees. Some of the trees are being designed partially before the 24th, but on the 24th, they will all be brought down to Westgate. And we have judges who will go around and verify that they have complied with the restrictions, conditions, and the guidelines and certify them as a complete. Then the organization will take possession of those trees and then display those trees. We will also look among those trees, and we're expecting to have a minimum of 30 trees. We will look among those trees, and the judges will identify maybe the top six of those trees, which will be reserved for what we call live auction. People will bid on those trees at the event. The other 24 will be placed on our silent auction and will be available for the public to view and bid on those trees as needed.
So you said it's happening at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. So are the trees all displayed inside the resort or outside on the property?
The people at Westgate, and I'm talking from the president, Cammy, down to Mr. Las Vegas, who you see when you walk in, to everybody there, and not to mention Ken, the manager for catering services. They have come together, Heather, and instead of just hosting the event, they are our exclusive sponsor for this event. And so they have really committed their resources and their personnel to make this an exquisite event. And so, yes, from the 24th, we will have the entire ballroom area of ballroom A, B, and C. The trees will be decorated in one of the ballrooms, and they will remain where they are decorated because we're going to fashion a sort of pathway that they will be displayed. They will be decorated in place, stay in place for viewing on the 25th, and remain in place for viewing on the night of the event. And then only remove from where they were decorated on the day after to be delivered to the winning bid for each of those trees.
Okay, awesome. So this is all happening on November 25th from 10 to 4 at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. And then the gala event is that night, the 25th as well?
So you come and watch and see those trees on 25th and take pictures with Santa, then come back the day after Sunday. And the gates open at 5:30. We will start the program at 7. But come in at 5:30, drink and socialize with us, and have a good time. In fact, we're going to have carol singers there as well. We're going to have a wonderful time. It's going to be a very fun event. And then the event starts at 7 and continues until we're going to dance all night after 10 o'clock. After having a wonderful five-course meal and having a chance to bid on any one of those trees and somebody selling auction items. And also, hopefully, to take the opportunity to donate and to support the cause of the organization. And this is where I want to say this, that what makes Down syndrome a little bit different from most of the organizations in town is that every single one of our programs in-house is provided to our members free of charge. And we are talking not only the programs that address the social needs, the recreational needs, but also our impactful programs like our reading clinics, programs like our computer lab, programs like our self-advocacy public speaking program. These are programs that we provide that will help our members develop the kind of skills so that they can be fully integrated into society. That's what we're talking about. And it's easy to say that as an organization, we provide a space for persons with disability to socialize and to play. But after socializing and playing, Heather, when they get a chance to have a conversation, how do they represent themselves? How do they show through their confidence that they belong? And so we are committed to continue to build and expand on the kinds of programs that would enable our members so that when they are actually included, because inclusion is one of our pillars, we are determined to create an environment where our members not only are placed in a position where they, by number, they are included, but also in terms of how they feel. Are they being engaged? And when they are engaged, how do they react to people within their spheres? How do they participate in a conversation when they are engaged? Those are the kind of programs that we have provided for our members. And to tie it all together, we are asking our supporters and attendees on Sunday, the 26th, to come out and help us to continue to sustain these programs so that we can truly provide an environment where our members can learn and can develop the kind of skills so that they too can become functional individuals in our society.
That's awesome. Okay, so what is the website where people could go if they want to learn more about the 35th Annual Festival of Trees and Lights or the Down Syndrome Organization of Southern Nevada in general and some of the programs that you offer? And, maybe if they want to make a donation or even get tickets to the gala event, because I know that you said the Saturday, the 25th from 10 to 4, people can come down and look at the trees for free. But for the gala event on Sunday, November 26th, if they want to get tickets to that, where do they go for all of this?
Yeah, so even when you're coming down to view the trees, go online and register for our special viewing. And again, free of charge for all our visitors on the 25th. Then go to our website at dsosn.org and just browse around and look at our events and our programs to learn about the organization in general. Specifically for the Festival of Trees and Lights, go to the website. On the first page, you will see FOTL 2023. Click on that button. It will take you to the FOTL page, and you will see in all its glory all the information relating to sponsorship at all levels, how to purchase a table, how to purchase a ticket, and how to sponsor and otherwise support the organization. You will also see a brief history of the organization and the event as well. But I really, in addition to that page, And I would tell you that for me, as the chair and the acting executive director, I have learned that it's not only about an event-specific relationship. We are trying to encourage all your listeners, Heather, to come in and see what we're doing, and to the extent that you want to help and you have time to, and see what the transformation, forget about change, the transformation that is taking place in the lives of our members because of what we do. That is the intent. And so as you look for this event, please do find time also to look for the other things that we do, the programs, the outcomes of those programs and the impact that we're having on our members. Come in and meet our members. Look at our calendar and see the many things that we do on a weekly basis and a monthly basis. We publish a monthly calendar and update it weekly in terms of activities. Look at that calendar and simply just come and visit any of those events and be a part of the transformation that is taking place in the disability community in general and in particular as it relates to persons who are diagnosed with Down syndrome and other intellectual developmental disabilities.
All right, that's fantastic. Okay, so once again, the website to go to is dsosn.org. That stands for Down Syndrome Organization of Southern Nevada. So dsosn.org. You can find out more about what the organization does. And if you want to attend the 35th Annual Festival of Trees and Lights, that's happening on Saturday, November 25th from 10 to 4. And then on Sunday, November 26th, starting at 5:30 p.m. is when the gates open, and the gala event happens at 7. That's the big gala fundraiser that's going to have Governor Joe Lombardo as the special honored guest. All of that's happening at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. So once again, Saturday, November 25th from 10 to 4, family viewing of the trees, photos with Santa. That's all free, but go ahead and register online. And then Sunday, November 26th, in the evening, that's when the gala event is happening. So once again, that website, dsosn.org. And we've been speaking with Peter Whittingham. He's the chairman of the board at the Down Syndrome Organization of Southern Nevada and the acting executive director. And Peter, I want to thank you so much for being here and letting us know more about what you're doing in the community and all the services and advocacy that you're providing for the disabled community. Amazing stuff that's happening. And it sounds like a fantastic event with the Festival of Trees and Lights that's coming up. So I really appreciate your time here today, Peter. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so very much for giving us the opportunity.
We are the 25%. That's a quarter of all Americans, over 61 million people with a disability. And we want a world where everyone is 100% included, just like you. Easter Seals Disability Services. We are the 25.org.
I'm Heather Vail, and you're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm speaking with Gary Costa, Executive Director for Golden Rainbow. The nonprofit organization supports people living with HIV/AIDS in Southern Nevada, and their 35th annual Ribbon of Life Holiday Spectacular is coming up very soon. Gary, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
So what exactly does Golden Rainbow do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, on a day-to-day basis, we provide emergency financial support and housing for people living with HIV in Southern Nevada.
Okay. When and why was the organization first founded?
Well, we were first founded back in 1986 at the height of the AIDS epidemic. We found that the performers on the Las Vegas Strip were being very hard hit by the epidemic, with many performers losing their jobs, losing their ability to perform because of their health, and also because of a lot of a stigma that was attached to it at the time. So people were being fired for being gay or for having HIV. It wasn't until one of the a main performer on the Las Vegas Strip, who used to have a headlining show, was released from the hospital with AIDS and was unable to return to work. And his family was afraid of him. So he wound up going home and living in his family's garage and dying next to an Oldsmobile.
Wow.
And that's when all the performers got together and decided we can't allow any more of our performers to experience this. And so they put on a a variety show called Golden Rainbow. And it was based on a Broadway show called Golden Rainbow, and raised a whole bunch of money to create a slush fund to help people with their rent and find places to live after they were released from the hospitals. And that has become an annual event. And here we are 37 years later, still doing the show.
Wow, that's awesome. So what sets Golden Rainbow apart from other HIV-related support organizations in Southern Nevada?
Well, since we focus primarily on housing, what we do, we work with all of the other organizations that see clients on various levels, and they have case managers that provide them direction on obtaining medical support, food, and housing. And whenever an organization has a need for housing for people with HIV, they refer them to us because we have a very, very quick turnaround time. We can find somebody housing within 24 hours.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yes, very good.
So you briefly mentioned the show that started the whole thing, which at the time was called Golden Rainbow. Now it's the Ribbon of Life Holiday Spectacular. Tell us more about that fundraiser and how it's evolved over the years.
Sure. Well, even from the very beginning, performers from all the shows, all up and down the strip, all wanted to be part of this show. So every year, it used to be held in June, during June and July, when most show theaters were dark. They were able to pull people together and put on an all-original variety show featuring performers from all the different shows. And what was nice about it is that people were able to perform numbers and musical numbers that they don't traditionally perform in their regular day-to-day job, in their regular day-to-day show. So it was all unique. It was a completely different show every year. And so that has continued on to this day. Now, when the COVID pandemic hit us, we had to postpone our show. We had canceled a couple of years, and then we had to postpone it last year to later in the year, and wound up doing a Christmas themed show because the soonest we could have it was December. And it turned out to be an overwhelming success. It was a family-friendly show. There were a lot of things being offered on the strip at the time that were holiday-related. And so we found it to be more successful than our previous five shows for the last 5 years. So we decided to bring it back as a Christmas show again this year. Again, it's featuring performers from most of the major shows on the strip. And it's an all-Christmas or all-holiday-themed show. So everybody will be performing something that they do not normally perform in their regular shows.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay, so what can people expect if they go to the event? How long is it? How many acts? What kinds of acts?
Sure. It's a nice variety of acts. So it starts off at 11 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday with an amazing silent auction. We have very generous vendors and merchants from all over the Southern Nevada area that donate shows to tickets, restaurants, bottles of wine, cruises, airline trips, you name it. And so people start participating in the silent auction from 11 until 1. In the silent auction area, we have a nice red carpet where people can pose with Vegas showgirls, Chippendales dancers, and the hosts of our show, Edie and Sean McAllister. And then they go in, the show starts at 1, and it's in two acts. The first act features 10 different performances, and it's everything from singing and dancing to aerialists, to magicians, to comedians, children. And then there's an intermission, and the second half is just the same, more holiday-themed numbers, aerialists, magicians, performers. We also have a surprise this year. We're reuniting a cast from the former Folly show that performed at the Tropicana for many, many years. And since the Tropicana is in its final days of existence, this will be the one last time that many of these performers can come and perform their old numbers in the theater one last time before it gets raised for expansion.
Aw, that's so sad.
Yeah, it's going to be bittersweet for many of them. But what's really nice is that since we've been doing this show, this is our 35th annual, but we've been doing it, as you know, for 37 years, that many of the performers, there are many performers that have performed from every show since our very first one. And each show now in the last few years have featured children or grandchildren of people that performed in our very first shows. So this will be a nice coming home for many people. Some have not performed on that Las Vegas strip since Folly's closed over 20 years ago.
Wow. All right. So we know it takes place on a Sunday morning starting at 11 a.m. We know it's at the Tropicana, but what are the details of the when and the where?
Sure. It takes place at the Tropicana in the Tropicana Theater, Sunday, December 3rd. You can buy tickets at goldenrainbow.org/ribbonoflife, or you can go to the Tropicana box office. The show starts at 1. It goes until 3. Tickets are very family friendly and very affordable for a Las Vegas show. They start at $40 and they can go all the way up to $150.
Okay. Now, what exactly do the proceeds go to support? Is it just generally supporting everything that Ribbon of Life does, or is it for a specific program?
Well, last year we were very fortunate. We had one of our donors surprises on stage during the show and made a $1 million donation for us to purchase a residential building so we could house many of our neediest clients and the clients who have the hardest time finding permanent housing. And so we have that building. We have started renovating it. So this year's money will go to help finish the renovations so we can have it fully occupied sometime in 2024. So all the proceeds being raised will go towards that effort to continue to renovate the home and get it ready for our clients.
Nice. Okay. Now, you mentioned that people can get tickets at goldenrainbow.org/ribbonoflife, goldenrainbow.org/ribbonoflife, or at the Tropicana box office. Now, what if they want to find out more about what Golden Rainbow does on a daily basis, or even support or volunteer in other ways?
Sure. Thank you for asking that. You can go to just goldenrainbow.org. We have a great website that lists all of our programs, our services. We have a nice wish list of things that we're constantly needing donations for to help support our clients, as well as other events that are coming up, and just other general ways to donate to the organization. We operate with a very small staff. About 80% of all the money we raise goes right back directly into direct client services. So out of most of the Las Vegas organizations of our type, we have the highest return on investment or the highest return on donations because, like I said, we have a low staff. Our office rent is donated to us, so we're able to turn around and put all that money back into where it's needed the most, and that is helping those people living with HIV who have a need for a place to live.
All right. So perfect. Once again, if you want to attend the Ribbon of Life, the 35th annual Ribbon of Life Holiday Spectacular, it's taking place on Sunday, December 3rd in the Tropicana Theater at the Tropicana Las Vegas. Of course, it starts at 11 a.m. with red carpet reception and silent auction, showtime at 1 p.m. until 3 p.m. And again, it's all happening Sunday, December 3rd, and you can get your tickets at goldenrainbow.org/ribbonoflife or directly from the Tropicana box office. So goldenrainbow.org/ribbonoflife. Now, if you want to find out more about what Golden Rainbow does in general and all of the good that they're doing in our community, the main website is goldenrainbow.org. And Gary, I want to thank you so much for being here today and letting us know more about what the organization's doing and the impact you've been having on our community for so long, and especially this fantastic event coming up, the Ribbon of Life 35th Annual. So I really appreciate your time today, Gary. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, and I hope to see you there.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Jolie Abreu, regional leader of the nonprofit Lasagna Love, and lifestyle influencer Kennedy Chug. Jolie and Kennedy, thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having us.
So, Jolie, what is Lasagna Love?
Lasagna Love is a global nonprofit that was started during COVID about 3 years ago by a mom in California. She saw a need in her community where families, it seemed like they just needed a warm home-cooked meal. She put it out on social media and surprisingly had lots of other people offer to help make meals as well. And 3.5 years later, we're now a global nonprofit and have served over 1.6 million families.
Wow, that's amazing. So how many volunteer chefs are there around the world?
There's more than 48,000 volunteers worldwide.
Wow. Okay. Now, Kennedy, what's the new partnership with Ragu all about?
Yeah, Heather, there's been a really great longstanding relationship between Ragu and Lasagna Love, and we've been able to help volunteers get meals to people in need. And the really great thing about this partnership is it goes much further than just lasagna. These new kettle cook sauces that were just released are great for all kinds of different recipes.
Okay, so what are some easy ways to prepare dishes for game day or holiday gatherings?
Yeah, we have a couple great examples. One of them are these chicken parm bites. They're really quick and easy, perfect finger food for gatherings. We have a hot honey pepperoni dip, which is perfect for game days or any get together. And we have Italian sloppy joe sliders. Again, perfect for game day or even a busy weeknight meal. Super easy to put together. Yeah.
Where could listeners find recipes for dishes like that?
Lots of family-friendly recipes can be found on ragu.com.
Okay, awesome. And Jolie, how can listeners join Lasagna Love in the fight against hunger and to help spread kindness within our local community?
Sure, they can go right to the website, lasagnalove.org/volunteer, and sign up right there.
Okay, nice. So ragu.com has a lot of amazing recipes. Kennedy was sharing some of them, chicken parm bites, hot honey pepperoni dip. You can find those at ragu.com. And of course, they have a partnership with Lasagna Love, which is a global nonprofit now that grew out of a small kitchen. If you want to get involved with that, lasagnalove.org/volunteer. lasagnalove.org/volunteer. And Kennedy and Jolie, I want to thank you both so much for being here today and sharing with us some great inspiration and some great news. So I really appreciate you both. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
This is Odyssey's I'm Listening, our commitment to inspire more conversations about mental health. I'm David O'Leary. It's great to have you with us. November, we honor our veterans, and we also acknowledge the elevated risk for mental health issues and suicide among our veteran population. Brigadier General Jack Hammond joins us to speak on behalf of the Home Base Program, a national nonprofit dedicated to healing the invisible wounds of war for veterans of all eras. General Hammond, great to speak with you. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, no, thank you, David. Appreciate your time today.
Hey, how we talk about suicide and mental health, that has changed a little bit in recent years. There's still a ways to go, but we're more fluent in the conversation to talk about these things, to be able to identify problems. Do you see that in your line of work in terms of our veterans?
I think we see it not only with our veterans, and it's funny because a lot of times the military leads medicine in certain directions based out of necessity and innovation, et cetera. And it's happened throughout our history. And when you think of things like penicillin, x-rays, and all these things that came about as a result of World War I and so forth. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately for these wars, these most recent wars, the mental health and brain injury aspect has been brought to the forefront for some pretty rough reasons. I mean, we've lost 150,000 veterans to suicide since 9/11. We've had 500,000 veterans with traumatic brain injuries, which we know oftentimes will then lead to suicidal ideations based upon some of the issues they're feeling. And so the Army and the DOD have taken this quite seriously because, you know, when you lose 20 to 30 to 40 people a day to suicide on a national basis, that's a red flag.
Yeah, that will turn some heads. And these risk factors, I guess, were always out there for our veterans coming back from service and, you know, in combat. It's just now that we're more aware of them and maybe now acknowledging them a little bit more freely and openly in the last, you know, couple of years.
I think so. I mean, you know, people have been traumatized since, you know, people fighting with axes and shields, right? I mean, it's pretty horrific stuff. And people have been getting blown up since people invented gunpowder. And I think the reality is, on the suicide part of it, it was such a taboo in so many religions, first of all, that even if it happened, people kept it hushed up.
Kept the lid on it, sure.
And I'm sure, you know, a lot of well-intentioned police officers and firemen that responded to scenes where somebody may have taken their life, rather than put the family through the challenges of dealing with that, and, you know, you look at insurance and other reasons, you know, they'll come up with another euphemism for it.
Yeah.
You know, died suddenly. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so I think we've kind of normalized the injury a bit, certainly within the military, and I think that's helped with the general population, because when you have these conversations about suicide very publicly and the debates about the care and the need for care, you start realizing, number one, you need to do something about it. But I think the underlying issue that we're dealing with is mental health care is the worst reimbursed area of medicine.
Ah.
And so we've got the least alternatives to deal with something, arguably, that's a life-threatening injury, right? I mean, if all these people are taking their lives without adequate care, that's a life-threatening situation.
The access to care piece, even finding clinicians and caregivers, even if you have insurance, even if you have resources, can be a real challenge. And I think that's something people have become aware of in the last couple of years, as we're all much more keenly aware of our mental health and anxiety and, you know, all these other things. And trying to get care is a real struggle sometimes.
It's a huge struggle. And the other part is, you know, as you pointed out, it's not covered. So there's a barrier to care. I mean, if you've got $500 an hour, you'll probably be able to find the right person. But the reality is most of them are generalists, and that's by design. And it's one of the few areas of medicine, right, that's allowed to take place. It's almost like, you know, back in the 1930s, where all you really had to go see was your general practitioner, and they pretty much did everything.
Right.
But that's where it is with mental health.
Yeah.
And so if you're a licensed social worker, psychologist, or psychiatrist, you have met the requirements to treat literally anything, even though you don't have the proper tools. And this is no disparaging comments towards them. They're doing the best they can, and thank God we have them.
Right.
It's just you wouldn't go see a pediatrician if you had stage 3 colon cancer.
Right.
And the complicated nature of the trauma that so many people are facing, whether in the military or out, you need someone that's trained and certified just as you would be in cancer care or cardiac care. You deserve to be cared for somebody that's equipped to deal with the complexities of the issues you have. And frankly, we just don't see it. And the end result is an absence of the appropriate care leading to an increase in suicide.
Boy, that's really well put. I mean, for all the talk that we have about normalizing this conversation around mental health and talking about mental health the way we talk about our physical health, it's all well and good, but the treatment of mental health is very different than the treatment of physical health. And if we don't have the caregivers, we're kind of back where we started.
And if you look on the heels of that, right, one of the byproducts of mental health challenges is substance use.
Yeah, there's a lot of shared real estate.
And we see that, and probably 60% of the folks that we care for have some level of some whether it's, you know, it's a lot more often than not, it's self-indulgence and you know, self-medicating with alcohol or sometimes prescription drugs or worse when it gets into the illegal drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes those lead to those self-harm suicides.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the elevated risk among our veterans, because there is more to it than just, you know, being, close to munitions and things like that in the service itself in general and sometimes the culture. I think you and I have spoken before about the culture that can tend to lead to that, get back out there and do your job, and we're not going to talk about this. I know that's changing, but can you talk a little bit about why those who serve may be at elevated risk?
Yeah, well, I think there's a few reasons. Number one, you know, elevated exposures, right? You've got folks, we deal very closely with our special operations forces. And right now, you know, if you look at a Green Beret, a Navy SEAL, a member of Delta Force that, you know, is at the 20, 25-year mark, they've got 20 years of combat. They've got 15 to 20 combat deployments, and they've experienced some pretty traumatic issues. Beyond that, I think more to the point you were making, it's also, you know, we're self-starters, we're self-reliant, and we play hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so traditionally, you know, you kind of, there's a mentality we call, you know, you got to suck it up. So there's a difference between being hurt and injured. If you're hurt, you have to suck it up. If you're injured, you require medical attention.
Mm-hmm.
And too often, people confuse the two when it comes to mental health.
Ah.
You know what I mean? Because if you fracture your ankle and there's a bone sticking through, there's no discussion. You're injured. You need to be medevac.
You're off the field, yeah.
But if you pull a muscle, you're hurt, and they expect you to keep moving, right?
Right.
Where there's no physical injury that's visible, people assume a mental health issue. You're just a little bit hurt, and you're not injured.
Right.
And so that goes on for a little bit, and when it doesn't get better, it does get worse. And the longer you deal with it without treating it or responding to it, the more problems you have. And so I think that's kind of at the center of it, because even if all the best leaders in the world want to do the right thing by the service members,
yeah,
we're sometimes our own worst enemy because we don't want to admit failure. We don't want to admit that we can't solve a problem that we're facing because, you know, by definition, especially when we get into our special operators, they get sent into no-fail situations routinely. And that's kind of our mantra, right? Never accept defeat. Failure is not an option. So on a personal side, when you're not able to cope with something, you're not able to overcome it, it feels like a failure, and nobody wants to admit defeat on that.
You know, back to care just a minute. One of the things that Homebase provides is at a thing called the Training Institute, is you work with caregivers and healthcare professionals on a lot of different areas in terms of treating those who have served, how to talk about military culture and training on PTSD and all of the things that we're talking about. So it seems as if Homebase is working to try to create more care or more options for care for those who struggle.
Yeah, we approach that two different ways. And so you've touched on it. So some of them are very intensive training programs that are certification, providing clinical capability and capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's obviously a very extensive process. And we've been working with clinicians in Massachusetts, in Florida. We're starting to work in Arizona to help build clinical capability where there's an absence of that. And that can take 6 months. But what we've also done is a lot of individual trainings to help with military culture, to help with pieces of the training and the clinical experience, help raise the level a bit. And we've provided training to more than 85,000 clinical providers.
Wow.
in a various different range of activities and therapies, just to give them a little bit of help. And you know, it, basically, you're familiar with the CEUs and the
course credits and
medical
whatnot.
Training that you've got to do each year.
Mm-hmm.
This goes towards that, and we don't charge, so it's kind of an enticement to come work on our stuff so they're better prepared to treat veterans, because otherwise you've got to go pay to get your CEUs. We offer them at no cost, and we offer them in areas that we think there's a gap and needs attention.
Yeah. We should note the care that Homebase provides for veterans of all eras and service members and families, which is so important, and families of the fallen, regardless of era of service or status or geographical location. It's all provided free of charge, which is no small thing. That's really, really something amazing. Can you talk about serving families and working with families and their part to play when someone is struggling and how they're impacted when someone's struggling?
Yep. So you touched on it right at the get-go. So families are a central theme to all the care we provide, whether they are seeking care themselves or the veteran is seeking care, because we know it's kind of an ecosystem. If you only address part of the family, the injury has cascaded throughout the entire family.
Hmm.
Many of our veterans feel like they're suffering in silence, but their family knows they're not doing well, and their behaviors are impacting everybody. And the longer this goes on, the longer the impact takes place. So we have very specialized programs for military-connected children. We've got programs for spouses, parents, family members, couples. So we approach it from a range of areas. Then when we look, one of the things we looked at a few years ago was on our national programs, and this goes to the point that you mentioned, all of our programs are absolutely free to the veterans and military family members that need them. We have a two-week intensive clinical program that we've now operated for 7 years that flies 24 veterans in from across the country and anywhere in the world at no cost. So there's absolutely zero cost to it. It's the best clinical program in the country, bar none, and it's free.
Mm.
And so if you're a U.S. veteran and you feel like you've got PTSD, you need to call us and our folks will sort that with you. And we'll get you in the queue, but we assume all the costs for airfare, lodging, meals, and all the treatment. About 5 years ago, a national organization called Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors, which is an umbrella group for families of our fallen, they have a subset of families that are surviving members of suicide, not just losing their service member, they lost them to suicide.
Mm-hmm.
We created a very specialized program initially for the military spouses, primarily military wives, all too often either witnessed the suicide or walked in and found the remains.
Mm.
By far, some of the most injured people we treat at Homebase.
Mm-hmm.
And we designed a 14-day intensive clinical program for it, where we compress nearly 2 years of therapy into the 14-day period with dramatic results.
Wow.
And we've now been running that for about 5 years with great, great success.
I want to, in the short time we have left, point people to how to get care. If you're listening, of course, and you're struggling at this moment, call 988. But if you'd like to find out more about these programs or how to support them or how to avail yourself or someone you love of them, homebase.org, is that the best place to start?
That is the best way. Homebase.org, you'll see a button in there. One of the first things you'll see is connect to care. And so if you have any doubt, if you you can obviously peruse the website and see the various programs we have. And they really do range from very light programs that get people just reconnected to other veterans and military family members, mm-hmm. to resiliency-based programs that are now, with the advent of Zoom, we now run these nationally. And they focus on stress reduction, anxiety reduction. With military-connected children, it also gets into self-esteem building. And then you get into the actual clinical care programs. And we have partnerships across Massachusetts and Southwest Florida. We're soon to have some outpatient clinical care in Arizona. But the big ones are the national programs where we fly you to Boston. And essentially, you press the Connect to Care button and somebody will reach out with you in a few days and connect with you and talk you through the process. Mm.
You are not alone. That's the thing to know here.
That's the key.
Yeah, homebase.org to find out just a little bit more. General Brigadier General Jack Hammer retired as U.S. Army Brigadier General, multiple combat commands, and has dedicated his life's work to saving lives and the good work of Homebase. It's great to talk to you, Jack. Thanks for all you do. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, David. Appreciate all the work you're doing as well.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression or anxiety, there is always someone there. The Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 988. I'm David O'Leary, and this is Odyssey's I'm Listening.
Hi, I'm Bob Maxwell, CEO of Voice of the Veteran. In the last year, we have helped secure nearly $4 million in aid and lifetime benefits for veterans. If you're a veteran, call us today at 702-381-2566.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include this Monday, November 20th at 8 p.m. benefiting Opera Las Vegas. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. Touro University Nevada and the Nevada Homeless Alliance are partnering for the annual Project Homeless Connect event to serve the Las Vegas Valley's homeless and low-income population this Tuesday, November 21st from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Cambridge Recreation Center, 3930 Cambridge Street near Boulevard Mall. Physical donations can be dropped off on Monday, November 20th from 2 to 5 p.m., and you can also donate online, sign up to volunteer, or get all the details at NevadaHomelessAlliance.org. That's NevadaHomelessAlliance.org, and the event's called Project Homeless Connect. The Down Syndrome Organization of Southern Nevada is hosting its 35th annual two-day Festival of Trees and Lights fundraising event on Saturday, November 25th, with family viewing and photos from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and Sunday, November 26th, with a gala event at 7 p.m. at Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Register for the free tree viewing or purchase gala tickets at dsosn.org. That stands for Down Syndrome Organization of Southern Nevada, so DSOSN.org. Park West Gallery has announced the top 10 finalists for their third annual Made in Vegas art competition, and public voting will now select the final three. In-person voting is taking place through Monday, November 27th, inside Park West Gallery at the Forum Shops in Caesars Palace. It's open from Sunday to Thursday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Fridays and Saturdays from 10 to 10. Find out more at parkwestgallery.com. That's parkwestgallery.com. Golden Rainbow's 35th annual Ribbon of Life Holiday Spectacular returns on Sunday, December 3rd at 11 a.m. for the red carpet reception and silent auction, with a 1 p.m. showtime and a 3 p.m. after party at Tropicana Theater at the Tropicana Las Vegas. Golden Rainbow provides housing and financial assistance to people living with HIV/AIDS in Southern Nevada, and their Ribbon of Life shows one of the largest and most successful annual HIV fundraisers in the state. Find out more or get your tickets at goldenrainbow.org/ribbonoflife. That's goldenrainbow.org/ribbonoflife. Three Square's 14th annual Holiday Match campaign is happening through December 31st. This campaign is designed to double your impact in our community throughout the holiday season, as all donations are matched thanks to the generosity of Nevada Gold Mines, operated by Barrick, Boyd Gaming Corporation, and Intermountain Healthcare. So now, every dollar donated can provide up to 6 meals for hungry residents in Southern Nevada. Donate, volunteer, or find out more at 3square.org. That's 3square.org. And Miracle Flights is lighting up downtown Summerlin for the holiday season with their third annual Lights for Flights display of 7 positive words through January 1st. Lights for Flights is an interactive holiday experience and photo op that also lets shoppers give back to one of Las Vegas's favorite nonprofits, Miracle Flights. They also have a flight school wine tasting event coming up on Thursday, December 7th at Starbase Las Vegas. Get info about both holiday events or make a donation at miracleflights.org. That's miracleflights.org.